Buddy, I am not the preacher. Good thing for you. Welcome everybody to Nettles Island Church. We got a good show for you today. It's a show because these people are fabulous. We got a good preacher today. I just ask in opening that you would pray for Pastor Rob and Cindy. They're getting better, but they couldn't be here today. So I'm going to turn this over to Stevie, and he's going to have some music for you. I can call him that, because I'm older than him. Okay, you're set.
Amen. Are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. We're going to start off with a little bit upbeat. This is the day that the Lord has made. Doesn't matter what's happening. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're here, we're alive, and we're breathing, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. And he has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. One more time. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. For he has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad.
Amen. Are you glad in the Lord this morning? Yes.
Amen. I'm glad. I hope you're glad. Isn't that upbeat? I love it. Well, we have a few announcements this morning, folks. First off, is there anybody here with us today for the very, very first time? Two. Okay. What I would like to do after the service, we want to welcome you. We have a little gift package back here we'd like to give to you just to say thank you, to greet you, get to know you a little bit better. I get to do that today, and I'm going to be happy to do so. All right? So if you want to meet me back there after the service, just take a minute. I'll give it to you, say hello, and actually, I'll let you go after that. How's that? We won't keep you around. I just want to ask you, we're going to add a few people to the prayer list. We have Victoria Sills and Pam McNatt. If throughout the week you would just visit this list that we have, it includes our missionaries. If you would just pray for them and keep them in your heart and let the Lord know that you're with him in helping these people, we would truly appreciate it. Now we have a couple of announcements. If you want to look, the Peru, I'm going to go through this with you. They made it easy for me. Isn't that nice? Peru Missions trip, January 7th through 14th. If anyone is interested, there's information back here on the table. You can get a hold of that. If you'd like to go, they would love to have you go with them. And our missions focus for August is Joshua's Promise. That's one of the missions that we support. And we would wish that you would pray for them to help them along the way. The Lord says wherever people pray, He's there. And we like Him there. And our church directory that Tammy so eloquently did. If you need help putting that on your phone, she's got to do it. She'll help you put that out. I had to have help. I don't have that chip in me to be able to do that. But yes, she'll help you do that for us older folks that can't do that. All right. That should do it. Oh, coffee with the pastor. He will be back. He will be back on Wednesday down in the cafe. He will be there from 9 to 11. Come on in, say hello, have a cup of coffee, and share in the joy. All right, if you'd now all stand, for those who can, please. We're going to do our song with Stevie. Greet those close to you. Don't be milling around. Just say hello to somebody and greet them. And we're going to sing.
Amen. Let's gather back to our seats and join with me as we sing this chorus. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Well, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Well, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you glad for the family of God this morning? Amen. I'm so glad for His faithfulness in my life. Amen. And His goodness. Let's sing this chorus, the song actually, The Goodness of God.
I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hand. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing it out this morning.
'Cause all my life You have been faithful. 'Cause all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You were close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing, God is so good.
And God is so good. God is so good. Yes, God is so good. He's so good to me.
Sing, he's so good again.
And God is so good. God is so good. And God is so good. He's so good to me.
And he answers prayer.
And he answers prayer.
Are you thankful for that this morning?
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
Just the voices, let's sing God is so good one more time.
And God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
One more time, you're singing so well.
Yes, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that when we go into times of prayer, it's for our needs, Lord, that we're praying to a God that is so good, that cares, that answers prayer. No matter how small or big the problem might be, God, we're thankful. We're thankful to know that this morning. Lord, there's several needs represented in this building. Most we don't even know about, Lord, but you know and you care. God, we lift those before you this morning. We have several needs on our bulletin, Lord, and we just lift those needs to you, Jesus. You know each situation on every one of those names. God, we pray especially this week for Victoria and Pam. You know the situation, Lord. You know those that are hurting around us, Lord. We pray especially for those that are hurting in our community, but, Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, we pray that it just turn back to you. God, we know you're faithful in all things and you're good in all things. And we trust you with everything this morning. Be in the remainder part of this service. And in everything you do, Lord, we won't fail to praise you. And it's your name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Chris and Steve. Aren't they great? What a good team we have there. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce a friend of ours. If you looked at the message, it's, are you tough enough to be kind? And we're going to add a little twist to this because I have some knowledge of this man being tough. I know he's tough. He can run a mini bike into a tree while showing off for people and stand here in front of us and preach. Pastor Bill, welcome.
Thanks. Good job, man. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Pastor Rob and Cindy were sick this week or the last several days. I talked to Rob earlier in the week, and man, he just sounded wiped out, tired. Voice was all scratchy, and throat was sore, and just under it. And I talked to him a little bit yesterday, and he sounded much better, but still I could tell he's recovering. And he told me to thank you all for praying for him and Cindy. And he, you know, they know you love them, and they love you, and they appreciate it so much. So anyway, they had to go to the dugout into the second string and get somebody for this morning. So that's me. So, but I'm happy to be here. And you guys, I tell you, there's just so much joy here. Do you feel that every time you come here, the joy and the presence of Jesus? And I appreciate all of you. I appreciate being here. If I only lived a little closer, I'd come here every Sunday, but it's a little bit of a drive, so just when I get here. But thank the Lord. You know, I was thinking as we were singing those songs a lot about the goodness of God, which is ties into what we're going to talk about this morning. I read in the Reader's Digest one time, life is a lot like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good. You agree? I think about my life, and you know, I've had ups and downs. You've had ups and downs. But you know, mostly our lives have been good. Wouldn't you agree? Through it all, thank God. Thank God for His goodness. His goodness, yes. Yes. Are you tough enough to be kind? That's a lyric in a song by the band U2. Does anyone know of U2? A few of you, okay. It's probably good that most of you don't, but anyway. Are you tough enough to be kind? We're going to come back to that line after a while. I want you to picture two individuals sitting on a beach at sunset. The sky is lit with an array of vibrant color. The sea is like glass, reflecting the beauty right back. And the setting sun is softly glowing, just breathtaking. A postcard moment. One individual is a follower of Jesus. The other couldn't care less about Jesus, God, or anything Christian. And yet, there they both sit, taking in and enjoying the same beautiful moment that God's good creation has gloriously painted right before their eyes. So what is this? This is common grace. Common grace. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 45, the Heavenly Father causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Have you found this to be true? I mean, when I wake up in the morning, now, I'm not judging any of my neighbors, but I do feel that there are some that have not found Christ yet, and we're working on that. But when the sun comes up in the morning over my place, it's over their place too. It's not like I have sunlight and they have darkness. And whenever it rains in our neighborhood, it's raining on their house too, not just on mine. Their yard, their plants, their flowers, their veggies are getting watered just like ours are. And that's the common grace of God. And I found this definition: common grace as an expression of the goodness of God is every favor falling short of salvation which this undeserving and sin-cursed world enjoys at the hand of God. This includes the delay of wrath, the mitigation of our sin natures, natural events that lead to prosperity, and all gifts that all humans use and enjoy naturally. And we exist in a world created good by God, but it's marred by sin and corrupted by evil. And the result is that goodness and wickedness exist together in the here and now. Yet God expresses His grace and goodness 24/7 to the entire world, to all the earth. People wake up to the goodness of God, even if they don't realize it. There's an account in the book of Acts, chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul was on one of his missionary journeys. And he was engaging with a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers there in Athens, Greece. And Athens was a city full of false idols and false religions. It was a hotbed for, you know, people sitting around and talking about religion and the gods and what that all meant and philosophy and how it mixed in with their everyday lives. And Paul happened to be there, and he's walking around Athens, and he sees all of this, and he hears what's going on. And he sees that they even erected an altar to an unknown god. So I guess they were so worried about all the gods that they even put one up to an unknown god that so they wouldn't miss any. And Paul declares to them, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And He does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far away from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being." Now, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. But every living person, whether righteous or wicked, partakes in the beauty and blessings of God's good creation. The two individuals on the beach, back to them, enjoying the sunset, likely have different perspectives about what they're seeing. The child of God may feel humbled and grateful, recognizing God's divine goodness in creation, and sit there and just be worshiping God as he or she looks at the beauty of God's creation. The other, the unsaved person, may feel entitled to this and feel the world is fortunate that they're even on the earth. Nevertheless, God's goodness permits both of them to enjoy the moment. And this is common grace. And you know, I ask why. Why is it like this? Well, first of all, I believe it's God's desire that everyone be saved. Would you agree that God would want everyone to be saved? And back in Acts chapter 17 that we just read, Paul said God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" So the goodness of God is preaching to this whole earth, to every person in the world, preaching that he desires and longs for everyone that has been born to have a relationship with him, to come into right standing with him. And he's provided for that through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that God's common grace is working in this world to draw all men and all women to him, to know him. Common grace. Now, what comes to mind when I say Baskin-Robbins, Kilwins, Palm Beach Ice Cream, Carvel, Sloan's, Brewster's, Cold Stone Creamery? What comes to your mind? Ice cream. Now, how many of you, when you go to one of these places and they have all the different flavors, you like to taste before you decide? Anybody? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be any fun if you didn't do a little taste before you decided, right? They give you that little, sometimes it's a little plastic spoon, you know. It's funny how they can't just give you a regular size spoon. It has to be a wee little plastic spoon, right? You're going, oh, come on, you know. But I don't often go in there and see anybody asking to taste a vanilla, right? You know, it's just so vanilla, you know? Most people like to taste the exotic flavors, one maybe they've never tried before. Well, the Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 3, "Now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness." Another version reads, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So we have common grace. And then secondly, we have tasted grace. Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see," what? "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Right. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." It goes on and says, "Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Now, the most important and powerful form of refuge that any of us can be under is salvation by grace. And whenever a person acknowledges and receives God's grace for salvation by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, comes into them and fills them with a new kind of life, resurrection life, and the power to overcome sin and live victoriously because they've been set free, the Bible says, from the power of sin and death. So having tasted God's grace with the knowledge that it's not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy that he has saved me, we can't help but respond with humble gratitude and a desire to want to please our Heavenly Father. How many have a driver's license? Okay. When you pass your driving test, when I passed my driver's test, I was 2 weeks after I turned 16 in Pennsylvania. They didn't have this waiting period. You got your permit the day you turned 16, you could go take your driver's test. Well, I went 2 weeks to the day that I got my permit. And I passed my test, and I can still see where I was sitting on the side of a hill near the parking lot where all my buddies and friends played sports. I was sitting on the side of the hill. I felt like the king of the neighborhood, man. I had my driver's license. I mean, I lived for that moment. Man, don't tell anybody, but I started driving people's cars at 12, okay? Anyway, I loved it, man, when I got my driver's test. It wasn't long after that I had my first accident, but anyway, that's another story. When you pass your driving test, you're awarded a driver's license. And you've shown that you can drive responsibly and that you understand and are committed to obeying traffic laws, the traffic laws of the state. A driver's license is not a license to drive dangerously and recklessly, putting yourself and others at risk of injury and death, is it? Well, grace is a license. It is. It's a license to serve the Lord thankfully and gladly and sincerely and boldly. Grace is not a license to sin or to live dangerously or recklessly. Now, I sin. Still, unfortunately, sorrowfully, I haven't reached perfection yet. I'm working on it with God and the Spirit in me. And when I do sin, I am grateful for the grace of God upon me and in my life. I'm grateful that when I sin, the blood of Jesus is there and it's been applied to my life. And that I don't have to go in and out of fellowship with God because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And I receive that grace. And I'm humbled by that grace, the grace of God, that not only saves me but keeps me. But I don't look at His grace as a reason for me to live opposite or in conflict with who Jesus is and who my Father is as His child. I don't want to live dangerously or recklessly. I want to live to please the Lord. And the Bible tells us that grace is our tutor. In Titus 2, 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own." Now listen, eager to do what is good. Eager to do what is good. If somebody tells me they're a believer, I feel like if I watched them, their life, I would see that that person was eager to do good, to please God, to live not dangerously, not recklessly, but humbly at the feet of Jesus, reading His Word, wanting to fulfill the Word of Christ in them. Do you agree? All right. That's good. Now, as we grow in grace, we've tasted the grace we've tasted. What will happen is will bear good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, so forth. Those will naturally begin to be formed in a person who truly has been filled by the Spirit due to salvation. Those things are going to start growing in us and, you know, sprouting and being evident. And that's not only going to impact us as we're being transformed, it's going to impact others around us. So we have common grace and we have tasted grace. And last, we have expressed grace. Expressed. How many of you attended Sunday school when you were a kid, child? Wow, good. Good, good. I miss Sunday school. Most of the churches today don't have Sunday school, do they? We used to have, man, we had classes, kindergarten, first, second, third. You went all the way through. Every 7 years, our quarterly meant that if you stayed in every 7 years, you went through the entire Bible. I think that's pretty cool. So by the time I was 21, because I went to Sunday school every Sunday, I'd gone through the Bible in Sunday school 3 times. Well, if you went, most of you did, you remember there was something that was the weekly memory verse. Do you remember that? And one that stands out in my memory is Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Yes, I was brought up with a King James Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. I like the King James Bible. But it's funny, I memorized verses in the KJV, but I didn't talk in the KJV outside of Sunday school class. Like when I was leaving Sunday school with my buddies and we were heading over to the sanctuary for the worship service, you didn't hear me turn to my buddies and say and ask, "Shall ye sit with thy parents this fine day? Or shall ye sit with me, thy friend and thy comrade? What decidest thou?" I just talked regular, like a little kid in Houston, Pennsylvania, right? But we did learn, and you know, it's funny because to this day, I still remember a lot of Bible verses in the King James Version, and I'm grateful for that. It's great. And I still enjoy reading it once in a while. Anyway, the encouragement there in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, Paul is urging believers to express something. And here's what it says in the NIV, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When acts of violence resulting in murder are committed in our world, I've seen TV shows, you know, these true mystery shows and so forth, detective shows. When these things happen, unfortunately they do. I've seen over and over where the detectives who are going to look for who committed this murder on the case, they always begin their investigation with persons who are closest to the victim. Have you seen this? They start right there at home. Many times, unfortunately, the spouse, they start there, you know, the closest to the victim, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever. And they work their way out from there. And expressed grace should kind of work like that. It should start with the person closest and then work its way out. Who's the closest to you? You. I'm the closest to myself. I'm right here. So I need to express grace to myself. You know, sometimes people don't like themselves. People don't give themselves a break. People don't love themselves. People don't forgive themselves. People walk around with regret over things they've done 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, even though God, if they're a believer, has forgiven them. We need to express grace to ourselves and let the grace of God permeate us and give us confidence that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because the Bible says that we need to love others as we love ourselves. And if I don't do a good job of loving myself, not in an egotistical way, not in a selfish way, but in a way understanding that I'm unconditionally loved. God loves me. He's loved me every day. Do you know that whenever God saw me doing the most wicked things I've ever done in my life, He still loved me in that moment? And He saw me being forgiven and walking in grace. And so we got to give ourselves a break. We got to give ourselves a break. The Lord has committed Himself to loving us forever. That's one of the most beautiful, life-freeing truths that anybody can ever know and understand. You're unconditionally loved. So grace toward yourself. And then we go out from there. Grace toward your biological family. Grace expressed to your biological family. You know, sometimes we forget that our family, our own family, our spouse, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, cousins, whoever, not only are they related to us in those ways, but if they're Christian, they're also our brother and sister in the Lord. So my wife Paula is not only my wife Paula, she's also my sister in the Lord, right? Yes? Okay. And you know, have you ever been around somebody who's a Christian and they treat their own family worse than they treat a stranger on the street? Have you ever known anyone like that? Isn't that awful? They're not even kind to their spouse. They're not even kind to their own natural born children. And yet they can see somebody they've never met on the street who isn't even nice to them and be nice. I don't understand it. Maybe we think because they're our family that we get a pass with them. But no, all the more reason to love and care for them and be kind. So we have to let grace be expressed toward our family members. And then toward our church family and the family of believers here at Nettles Island Church and Christians everywhere. You know, there are scriptures in the Bible that talk about how we are to love and be kind to others, especially those of the household of faith, the Bible says. And so we need to express kindness one to another, and you folks do that every Sunday, and I'm sure through the week. I mean, when you take that prayer list home every week, you take it home with you today, and you don't just throw it away, but you keep it out near where you talk to God, and you continue to pray for God's mercy and health and wholeness and healing upon your brothers and sisters here at the church and the people that they love, you're expressing grace and kindness and love toward your own family members here at the church. Praying for Christians all over the world, praying for persecuted believers in other countries, believing God is going to bring them through and deliver them and protect them and help them to be a witness. You know, these are ways that we express grace. Believing God, helping somebody. a church member, someone that we know is having a hard time financially, we reach out to them and we buy them groceries, bring something over to their house, a meal or whatever. We offer them our help. There's so many ways we can do this. And then toward those outside of Christ, and yes, even our enemies. Even our enemies. This is a very hard scripture I'm going to read to you next. When I read this, I've read this scripture many, many times. And it never gets easier for me to chew on. Never. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. It says, "But to you who are listening," this is Jesus talking, "but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Wow, that's rough. "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High because He, the Most High, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Wow. The Most High is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. We've spun all the way back around to common grace. Just think if God wasn't good. Just think if our God, who created the universe and the world and the cosmos, was a wicked, evil God. I wonder what this world would be like. Probably people that wanted to do good would be the ones that would be told they were bad. It would be opposite. It's kind of that way now in a way, in some sense. But our God is good. And His goodness permeates. And He's kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And it says here, that we're to be like Him. We're to, as His children, like father, like son, like father, like daughter, we're to be like Him. Be merciful just as our Father is merciful. We're image bearers. When Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they were created in the image and likeness of God. And God meant for them to be His image bearers and permeate the earth and expand His kingdom. And then sin marred everything. And then Jesus came and He gave His life and God raised Him from the dead so that anyone who enters into a relationship with Jesus then becomes an image bearer, His temple in this world. You may remember I talked about that last time I was here. And so we come back to, are you tough enough to be kind? Because I'm going to tell you something. Luke chapter 6, those verses are not for any wimp. You agree? You got to be tough enough to be that kind of kind. All right? You got to be tough. Anybody, Jesus said it. He said, hey, even sinners can love people that love them. Even sinners can give to people that are going to give them back. Even sinners can do all that stuff. It doesn't take anything to do that. But Jesus is asking his people, are you tough enough to be like my Father, who's kind to the ungrateful and wicked? Are you tough enough? Are you able to do that? In ourselves, are we able? No way. But man, we have the Most High lives inside of us through His Spirit. And with the help and the strength of His Holy Spirit, we can be the kind of people that Jesus tells us God's children are. It's not always easy. None of us are perfect at it. None of us. I mean, I could give you example after example. You get cut off on the highway. You get, you know, somebody steps in front of you in line at Publix and you were in a hurry and they got 15 things and you had one. You know, I mean, it's tough in this world, man. It's tough. It's tough when somebody hurts you or talks behind your back. It's tough to be merciful to the unmerciful. But it's what Jesus calls us to. Because we're His image bearers. And if we're going to make any kind of difference in this world, if we're going to expand the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of God is anywhere where Jesus is king. If we're going to expand the kingship of Jesus to our circle of influence and our sphere and our neighborhood and our city and out it goes, we're going to have to be different than the next guy, than the next gal. Image bearers. It's tough not to hit back, to seek revenge, to return evil for evil. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how do you battle evil? How do you fight evil? How do you conquer evil? How do you overcome evil? By being more evil? By being worse than the person who strikes you? No. You overcome evil by being good, by doing good, by reciprocating with love instead of revenge and anger and hatred, by reciprocating a foul word with a kind word. That's what it is. Returning good for evil, listen, starves evil of the oxygen that keeps it alive. Good in a room of evil sucks the oxygen out of the evil in the room. So there you have it. Common grace, tasted grace, and expressed grace. Now, good and evil exist together on the earth at this time. We're all aware of that. The wicked and the righteous both enjoy the beauty of God's good creation. But folks, there will be a day of reckoning. The day is coming when the judge of the earth will separate the sheep from the goats. The end time harvest of separation is drawing closer when God will separate the wheat from the chaff. Because He's a good God, because He's a patient God, because He's a merciful God, because He's allowing His kindness to permeate the earth, this all is happening together. Wickedness and righteousness existing together. And it's our job to be expanding the kingdom, as we've talked about this morning. Every living person, you, me, and every living person, is on a trajectory of their choosing, either toward enjoying eternity with God in the new heavens and new earth, the restored Eden creation, or on a trajectory toward being separated from God and His kindness and goodness and blessing forever. Right now, everybody gets to, in one sense, enjoy all that beauty. People can work a job even if they don't care about God and make money, become millionaires. They can plant corn and corn grows even if they don't pray over their fields because they don't care about God. People everywhere get to enjoy God's goodness at this time. But one day there's going to be a separation. None of us deserves to be on that trajectory to spend eternity with God. We don't deserve it. But Jesus has made it possible for all who receive forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Christ on the cross. And I pray that everyone in here, I pray that every one of you, I really do, in this room today has accepted Christ as Savior and is on a grace trajectory toward everlasting life with Him. If that's you, say amen. 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 Now, if you haven't, I pray that this morning you'll acknowledge your need of Jesus to forgive you of your sin and ask Him to come into your life as Lord and Savior. Now is the time, today, now is the time for we, you and me, who've tasted God's grace to express His grace, sharing His kindness and love with those who are in need of a Savior around us, even our enemies. How many want to join me and keep doing that? Yes? Yes. We're going to sing this chorus and then I'll pray after you sing it, okay? Let's sing together.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin.
Grace,
grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for your scriptures to us today. God, I ask that you will, Lord, plant the seed of this word into each one of our hearts. And Lord, that it will continue to take root, land it on good ground and will bear good fruit and sprout. And Lord, be expressed to ourselves, our families, our church, to this world, to our enemies. As we go out of this place, as your image bearers, as we expand the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God in this earth, sometimes it doesn't look like you're in charge. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. It seems like you're on the losing side, Lord, but we know that you're not. We know that you have already written the end of the story, and the end of the story says that, God, you will rule and reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. And we who believe in you will partake in that. And Lord, you're not happy with what you see. You're not happy. Your heart is broken over the wickedness in our times. But God, you have called each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, your children, to do our part best we can partnered up with your Holy Spirit each day to express your kindness, to express your grace, to express your forgiveness, to express your mercy, to express your love. God, give us the strength to do so as we leave this place today. Thank you, Lord, for all you've said and done here today, through word, through song, through prayer, through fellowship. We give you the glory, honor, and praise. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen, amen. God be with you today. Nettles Island Church folk, have a great one. Amen.